As I've mentioned before, I never preach or teach from anybody else's gospel reading except when Bracken reads the gospel. So I feel kind of like Carrie and Will must have felt sitting at his feet as he read Dr. Seuss and getting fascinated with this. Because I had a different word, but I wanted to just follow this one up. Bracken read. You know, the thing, the older I get, actually daily, and this is a little bit, if you read the devotional that I sent out today, you know, the world's always looking for something new. And often, sadly, Christians who aren't satisfied in Christ always have to find something new, buy something new, get something new to be happy, especially Westerners, because we have so much stuff, so we need something new. And the new is a fun thing to get if God does that, but if your heart's only happy when you get those things. But in Christ, every day is new. He says, as a matter of fact, it says that in Romans 6, Paul describes this life in Christ as newness of life. There's a verse, I guess I'm kind of doing this word anyway. Maybe it'll be a combination of both. This is from, let me read these two scriptures. I'll just read this one scripture. How about that? That would make more sense. This is from Psalm 92, verse 10. But you have exalted my horn like the wild oaks, like the wild ox, and I have been anointed with fresh oil. There's something gloriously wild about the Christian life. And when I hear or read the story like Bracken read today, this life of fresh oil, newness of life, and I read that story and I go, I get to do stuff like that. Not independent from Christ, but because I'm now included in his life. And so I can wake up daily and expect an adventure that can have all kinds of amazing twists and turns that are just extraordinary. And when Jesus comes to this woman at the well, he passes through no man's land because Jews were not supposed to go through Samaria. Because the Jewish people were very racist and the Samaritans were only half Jewish. And they had the theology that was kind of weird. But Jesus went there because he only did those things he saw the Father doing, only he said those things he heard the Father saying. That's union lived out practically. We get to live only doing those things that Jesus is doing and only saying those things that Jesus is saying from the inside out. And so there's just newness of life. And, you know, of course, when Jesus gets there and he sends the disciples off to Sychar to get some food because they're all hungry, they're tired. Jesus was tired. But then he goes there. There's this woman at the well. He speaks this miraculous word into her life. Her life is changed. He promised her that he could give her water. There would be like a well springing up spontaneously to abundant life. That's what eternal life is all about. And she has this amazing encounter with Jesus. And she goes off to Sychar to tell everybody in the village, this is a woman who'd been married 5 times, now living with a guy who didn't have the greatest reputation or built-in platform to speak into people's lives. But now she does because she's had an encounter with Jesus. And so she's telling them all about what Jesus said to her and how he read her mail. And the result of that is that everybody in the village starts heading towards Jesus. Now, before that, the disciples come back with the food. And if you remember in the story, when Jesus first asked that lady for drink, and he wanted to drink from her glass, her pottery container, she was stunned because, one, she was Samaritan, and then, two, she was a woman, and you weren't supposed to do that then as a Jewish man. And so he was breaking all the rules. And when the disciples come back, I'll just start in verse 27, Bracken read it. At this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he had been speaking with a woman, yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "to her," or "why do you speak with her?" to Jesus, but they weren't happy about it. So the woman left her water pot, went to the city, and then shared her testimony of what had happened. And in verse 31, meanwhile, the disciples were requesting him, saying, "Okay, Rabbi, now eat. We brought you food." And Jesus said to them, "I have food to eat. Why do you not, that you don't know about?" Just like he had told her, there's water to drink that you don't know about. Now these were his disciples, the foundation of the church. The disciples said to him repeatedly and into one another, "No one brought him anything to eat, did they?" And he said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say that there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. And already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life. That he who sows and he who reaps rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows, other reaps. I sent you to reap for that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you've entered into their labor. And from that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because they all came. Now, where this well is kind of up. And so as the people were coming from Samaria, which was kind of downhill, you could see them all coming. And these disciples weren't really happy with the fact that Jesus had just ministered and hanging out with a Samaritan woman. And that's when Jesus says to them, lift up your eyes and see the harvest. Because Jesus could see all these people coming. And he was trying to say to them, guys, don't you get it? This is what I've been trying to teach you. Is that you couldn't see that this woman was a harvested heart ready for harvest. But if you had eyes to see, you'll have all these kind of coincidental things happen all the time. Well, you'll just kind of sort of accidentally, supernaturally end up next to somebody. And if you have eyes to see, you'll see an opportunity for God to do a miracle, for God to do signs and wonders. The very person that's standing next to you that may seem like somebody that you don't want to be around, they're just such a mess, they're so goofed up, may be the very one whose heart is ready for harvesting. As a matter of fact, the more messed up they are, usually they're more prepared for harvesting. And that very person that you may not think can do anything or offer you anything can offer me a lot. And if you'll just stop and let Jesus do through you what Jesus does, as he let me do through him the things that I do in this situation, that very person may be the one that brings revival to an entire city like Selma. That may seem like a stretch and sort of a ridiculous fantasy. But I think that's part of the newness of life, sort of the, you filled my horn like a wild ox with fresh oil. That this Christian life in Christ is so amazing, so spontaneous, so crazy, that you should always expect every day, one, you get to just enjoy his indwelling, pulsating presence. That's enough to satisfy a heart for 10 eternities. You could be standing in line. Nothing seems to be going on. I'm not saying talk to anybody. You're just enjoying my pulsating presence in you like, wow. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. But you know what? I like to do cool stuff, exciting stuff. And you just never know what it might be. And I want to do it through you because you're the only body I've got, the only hands to which I can touch that person, the only lips to which I can speak to that person, the only heart through which can love that person. I want to use your brain to think with as we work this out, and they may ask you questions or challenge you. That's the wonder of it all. So when I read stories like this, I don't just read stories like this and go, that is so cool. Jesus is so cool. That he would care about this person that even his disciples had prejudice against. And then when I get to reading it, I always am reminded, oh yeah, this is an invitation of a life I'm called to participate in. I get to participate in Christ doing this kind of stuff. That when he's revealed in me, I get to be revealed with him in glory. There's this unusual verse from Job 29, verse 20. Now, Bo always speaks of battles and victories, right? My glory is fresh within me, and my bow is renewed in my hand. Wow. Fresh oil, that Psalm 92 talked about. Fresh glory, Job talks about. A wild ox, the horn is the speaks of that which contains fresh oil. If your life in Christ is boring, if your life in Christ as a Christian is mundane, because there's nothing mundane about what Jesus does. You can be cooking pancakes, but his pulsating presence within makes cooking pancakes the coolest thing you've ever done in your life. Because you're doing it in union with Jesus. But if your life is mundane, if you don't wake up every morning going, wow, a wild ox day, Lord. Fresh oil day, Lord. Fresh glory, Lord. Newness of life every day. That's the Christian life. That's the normal brown bag, run-of-the-mill, everyday Christian life. And if that's not your experience, find out why. Because that's what he paid for. He didn't pay so you get a ticket to get out of hell and go to heaven. He did what he did so that heaven can get inside of you and you can enjoy fresh oil, fresh glory. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. See, here's the thing, you may got to go. People ask, like, but Bishop, I mean, isn't it hard? You and Livia, it's been a hard almost 3 years beginning this, like, December. Well, even now, 3 years ago. But the last 8 months have been crazy. Isn't it really just hard and awful? If I'm not abiding, it's hard and awful. You with me? But as long as I remain, that's what the word abide means, just remain. Just stay conscious that it's his life. Then it's a glorious adventure allowing Jesus Christ to do what he does. Amen. With the peace, Lord, be always with you. Share the sign of God's peace.